Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. Once again, it is the 26th day of February 2018. And our opening message for this morning to our Omega Radio audience is simply this: never quit. Never quit. And I hear the Lord say, the words that I speak, they are truth and they are life. I am the God of abundance. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and ways above your own. Think higher, my people. Think higher, for I have said that you must think on things above and not on things of the earth. Your preoccupation with the world is drawing you away from me. You seek signs and wonders in the earth rather than the signs and wonders in the heavens. The heavens are far above the things you see with your natural eyes. They are without limitation. The things of the earth are subjected to futility and are frail. The things of the earth are natural, temporal, and mortal. But I have called you to the spiritual, eternal, and immortal life. The God of the world has blinded the minds of those who have not believed. The world is propped up by false imaginations, deceptions, lies, and a tremendous amount of trickery. The illusion of reality has been mistaken for truth, but in fact is a lie. Have you not seen the hopes of people being moved by every report they hear? Have you not noticed that man's words are what move the masses? Have I not said in my word that the whole world is deceived by the evil one? Again, the whole world is under the sway of evil, but not so with you, beloved. I have given you light for your journey. You have been poured into. You have been given the golden oil for the day in which you live. I say to you now, do not fall asleep, for it is time to arise. It is time to awake unto righteousness. Trim your lamps, beloved, for the midnight hour is come. You will need your lights to burn brightly at this time of spiritual darkness and wickedness. Many false spirits have been loosed in the earth with an organized plot to sweep my people away. Lie after lie is being sent forth to consume the minds of my people, to lead them into darkness. Compromise is on the rise, and the gates have opened to the enemy. He has entered in without notice and has ravaged the unsuspecting. Where are the shepherds? Where are the pastors of my flock? I say to the pastors, arise and guard the flock of my inheritance. Speak up against all compromise. Raise the standard. Many have been diseased and wounded by the wolves and serpents. I will hold the pastors accountable. I have said in my word that the elders are to give an account for the souls of my people. You have allowed the voice of the world to seduce you into silence. You have become weary in the battle and have left off your responsibility to guard the flock. I call you now to return to your post. Take the rod of authority and drive away the beast. Drive out the evil spirits that have invaded the flock. Reach for the oil of my anointing and give it out to the sheep and lambs, for their wounds are grievous. Seek not position or power among men, but condescend to service and to men of low estate. Forsake all once again and fulfill your calling. Return to your first love. Remember your passion to serve me and to tend to the flock of my inheritance. You were willing in those days to lay your life down for the sheep, but have become dull in your service and have felt unappreciated and misunderstood. I have not called you to be understood by men or appreciated by my flock. I have called you to love and guide my people into my everlasting kingdom. I have entrusted to your care the most valuable of all my possessions. I have given you the responsibility to care for the souls of my people. I have not called you to favoritism or to respect of persons, or have I told you to admire the person of any. I have called you to guide under my hand of provision. I have called you to look to me and respond to me only. I have not called you to follow formulas or traditions. I tell you this day that if you guide with men's admiration in mind, you will taste the bitter fruits of failure, and the blood of many will be upon your hands. For these days are evil. Wicked devices and clever schemes have been planned out for the destruction of my flock. I am speaking to you about the highest value in the created universe. I am telling you that those who have received my name and have accepted my spirit within them are my inheritance. These must be guarded at all costs. You will not be able to lead them and guide them and protect them by formulas in this day. You must gather together my flock and lead them into their high calling. You must lead them upward and onward. You must lead them out of danger. I have called you and equipped you, my pastors, with spiritual understanding and spiritual anointing in order to lead my people. You must not lead in the flesh. You must not guide with the thoughts of the natural mind. You must lead and guard with the weapons of warfare that are effective for the pulling down of spiritual strongholds. Know this day that many of my people will not be able to persevere through the times that lie ahead because they have not been sheltered in a proper way. I have given you a spiritual covering that will enable all who come under your care to not only survive, but prosper and grow into shepherds themselves and warriors and kings. I am saying that there is a guard about you that has been commissioned to protect those under your care. Your love for me will be translated into a vital and genuine love for my people. They will know it and will willingly yield to your counsel and direction. You will prosper by the wool they give and will have exactly what I have given you through them. I say these things to bring your mind and thoughts back to what is important. It is not important that you be heard or seen by men in the world. It is not important that you become great in the eyes of men. No, what is important that you know each soul that has come to you and has been by the leading of the Spirit in order that you may care for them. However, not all that is among you at this time is of me. For it is written that while men slept, the enemy sowed seed in the field. It is also written that evil men slipped in among you. Fear not these adversaries, for they will either become a possession of my flock or will come under the severe punishment by me. I am able to remove with a stroke of my hand. What is the higher way? It is heaven. It is the above life. It is my flock walking upon the earth while being seated with me. It is all the fruits of my spirit manifesting in every soul. It is the all-encompassing bond of love filling the hearts and minds of my people. To the apostles of this new day, I have given you a day wherein the powers of my kingdom are being released in you for the overthrow of the satanic kingdom. I have raised you up for the purpose of displaying my power among the nations. You must be filled with love. You may not rule my flock with a rod of iron, for that rod of iron is reserved for the rule over the nations. You are not to fleece my flock. I know your need for finances, and I will provide as you lovingly show my strength to the flock. I want you to focus on the 99% of the people who are fellowshipping in the joy of the Lord. Too often the message has been concerning Ananias and Sapphira, yet there were only two among thousands that were dealt with severely. You have been called to build up my people. The majority of my flock are in transition and are becoming sheep. This transition is vital. My body is coming to maturity in this day, and you have been granted the responsibility of seeing the work finished. For this is the seventh day, the day of perfection, completion, and a finished work. You have no time to look at the clock. You have no time to look at things which do appear to be a certain way. I have given you divine power to accomplish this work in my people. Through the anointing I have placed within you, corporately, my body will be complete. You must see it as I see it. You must see the gathering together of the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. I say to the apostles that if you do not have power to match your words, you must humble yourselves until it is so. For I have determined to know not the words, but the power among you. Understand your part in this building. To my prophets, you are the voice through which all my flock shall be lifted up and encouraged. I have given you a special ability to express my heart and have put fire in your bones in order that you may ignite the fire in their hearts. It is time for fire to come out of your mouths. You are issuing forth the witness of the new day. You have spoken and have proclaimed the third day, and this is good and this is right. Yet I will have you to pour forth more. I have given you this day to declare it, for it is right. Therefore, hold not back. Do not say in your heart, the message has lost its savor. Beware that it is not you who have lost the savor, for the message is salted and ready to fill the earth. You have faced many obstacles and have overcome much, but I say to you that it is time to spread the message throughout the world, on radio, TV, magazines, and every pulpit around the world. For truly, this is the day of resurrection power, and my people must awake to this reality. But they must hear the trumpet sound long and hard. You are my trumpet in the earth. Look not to the left or right. Seek not to know what others are saying, but speak what I have put in your heart. Do not be embarrassed or afraid to speak, for this is your calling. With the third day, I have given you much to proclaim and will continue to open up the mysteries. To my handmaidens, you are the nurses within my flock. You were called to cherish me in my body. You are the hands through which I will touch those who are in need. You are the voice of comfort among my people. You are my willing vessels through whom I will proclaim signs and wonders in the earth. I say to you this time, to put on your holy garments, for I am coming to you. Put on your white garments, for you are my virgins in the earth. Your hearts are pure. I say to the pure-hearted that you will see me in this day. For I am coming to you in many forms, and you will know by my visitations that I have been among you. Through you I will accomplish many things, and the hearts of many will be revealed. Your reward in this hour will be great joy. You will need this joy as you walk among my people, for many are weary and ready to give up. Your smile will bring healing. To the rest I say, you will surely know that I have worked among you through my servants. You will grow with God's speed. You are living in the season of the twinkling of an eye. Your changes are going to be rapid and swift as you submit to my authority. You are going to increase in spiritual maturity and wealth. I have determined that wealth and well-being will be your meat. Through you, I will feed my servants, yet you will have an abundance to share. Look and see if what I say is not so in a very short time. I am going to lead you and guide you into fields of abundance in new workplaces. I'm going to give you the ability to gain wealth. You are going to find favor in the eyes of men, and they are going to give you much. Truly, you will be a fruitful bow. I have loved you, O my people, with an everlasting love. Our time draws near that we will embrace one another. My heart is passionate for you, and my longings run deep. I am intimately bound to you forevermore. My presence will be known to you in an ever-increasing way, as your affections for me increase and abound. Together we will run to and fro throughout the earth. I have so much to show you. Hold tight to your course, beloved, and be not swayed from me. Lift up your head higher than it has ever been, and hear clearly this word, and hold it until the race is over. Listen, never quit. I say again, never quit. Hallelujah. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this Monday morning beginning of a new week. Praise God. There's a lot going on, and who knows what a day is going to bring, but That is the beginning of our message today. Never, never quit, regardless of what you hear, regardless of what you see. I heard a instructive word from the Father to the pastors, to the apostles, to the prophets, to the handmaidens, to the general body of Christ. Everybody has a part to play right now, and it is time to move in the flow of the Spirit of God. It is time to allow that golden oil to anoint your chords. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the orchestra leader, and he wants to sound a symphony in the earth, and the symphony is through the body of Christ. And there is something about your part. Every musician on the stage and the largest orchestras, each one has to do something to add to the whole. There's a part for you, beloved. There's something you're called to do, and it's time for you to focus on Jesus to make sure that that is the number one thing on your mind. Nothing else. If you put anything else before what you're called to do, you're going to come short. You're going to miss it. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do not let the things of God go into a secondary position. Put him first, and then go about your business and do whatever it is that God has put in your heart to do. This is the wisdom of God. God has a plan. I'm convinced great things are about to happen. And listen, we are now just about 32 days away, 32 days away from the beginning of the new year. Listen, agricultural economy of God, the beginning of the year of the feasts of the Lord. Now, on about March 17th, which is only 19 days away, we're going to enter into the first day of the new year. So I would imagine these next 19 days are going to be critical. I'm telling you, the next 19 days on planet Earth are going to be critical. And I don't know what we're going to see on our screen this time, but these are critical days leading up to the first day of the new year in the Hebrew calendar, 5778. Now remember, 5777 had all kinds of mysteries. It meant gray, lead, pulverized. We saw pulverizing things happen in 5777, from mass shootings in Las Vegas, to church shootings in Texas, to school shootings in Florida, to massive hurricanes, wildfires, mudslides, and so many other things that happened with the eclipses. 5777 lived up to its potential. The only thing we really didn't see was that global World War III. Nobody was willing to pull the trigger. There was a lot of talk about war, but it never really commenced. However, around the world, there have been some wars, scuffles here and there. Now, we're not out of 5777 yet, but everything that the Hebrew concordance said 5777 meant, I mean, we had a full display of it. So that encourages me that as we move into 5778, which will be on March 17th in the Gregorian calendar, that it's time to get under the wing. It is time to really make our way into the secret place of the Most High, come under the shadow of the Almighty. It is a Psalm 91 year ahead, and there are going to be things happening, obviously, contained in Psalm 91, where 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand. Excuse me. It certainly does appear. Let me take some water here. That is going to be a wild ride. Now, as we prepare to enter into the secret place, if we haven't done it already, on March 30th will be Passover. Spraying my throat. So March 30th is going to be Passover. And I want you to know biblically now, we're talking about biblical truth, okay? That in the economy of God, it is during Passover that begins the year in the agricultural economy of God. Now, we're talking about God's spiritual economy. Because we're not under an old covenant, the way that we celebrate the feast of the Lord are a little bit different. It's kind of like being under the Old Testament where they used to kill bulls and goats and pigeons and all that. Uh-oh, the voice is vominosing here. But listen, under the Old Covenant, they did things a certain way. In the New Covenant, we have a greater covenant with greater promises. So that means we don't kill animals anymore because Christ was the Lamb of God. He shed his blood once and for all. So with the Feast of the Lord, they continue on in their spiritual vitality, and it's our job to explain what that means. And so I plan this week in going into a more detailed conversation about the Feast of the Lord and getting ourselves ready to celebrate the first feast of the new year. The Feast of Passover, which leads into, in the same feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits. All of that are contained within the first 7 days. And from March 30th through April 7th, we here in Northwest Arkansas at New Wine Ministry Church are going to do what we've done for many, 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 many years. We are going to celebrate the Feast of Passover. And what we're going to do is we're going to invite everybody anywhere in the world to come on out to Northwest Arkansas. There are 11 acres of land. You could bring your tent, your RV, your backpack, your sleeping bag, whatever. There are hotels all throughout Northwest Arkansas. There are some great deals that can be had because one of the gals in our church, she works for a hotel, and she get you some outrageous discounts. I mean, very good discounts to stay at hotels for the Feast of Passover. And so this is the first invitation that I'm sending out over the airwaves to get people ready to come to the feast. Now, under the Old Covenant, everybody was commanded in Israel, they were commanded to gather together 3 times a year for the Feast of Passover, and which is connected to a Feast of Unleavened Bread and First Fruits. That was the beginning of the year, the spring feast. And then they were commanded to gather together during the summer feast of harvest. It was known as the harvest feast, known as Shavuot. We know it as the Feast of Pentecost. And then the third time they were commanded to gather together was in the fall, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. So 3 times a year in God's word, he commanded his people to gather together to celebrate these feasts. Now, the Feast of Passover being the first feast during the year is the 30-fold experience. You know that God talks in the New Testament about 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So in the agricultural economy of God, the year begins with first fruits, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Passover. This is the beginning of the year. And agriculturally, it was a barley harvest. It was all about the barley. It was about the grain. It was a grain harvest. And then the next great feast was the 60-fold feast known as Pentecost or Shavuot or the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest because it was 49 days after the Feast of Passover. And then it was the wheat feast. And so the grain grew into the wheat, and then they would bring forth their offerings, and they would the next 4 months throughout summer, which is normally June, July, August, September, they would be reaping their harvest. Their fields would be ripe and rich because, listen, they had the promise of God for a fruitful harvest in their farms and in all that they did because of their first fruits from the Feast of Passover. This is the first fruits, the beginning of the year, and that's when the Israelites would come out of the winter season. They would take of their old store that they had gathered up from the previous year, and they would begin the year with a first fruits offering unto God. And they would bring their offering to the Lord. They would celebrate Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits for 7 days. And then those next 49 days would be counting. It's called the Omer. It's counting the Omer, 49 days. And on the 50th day, they would shout. It was called Shavuot. It was harvest. It was time for the next feast because now their garden was ripening. The fruits were ripening. The wheat was ripening. And so they would wave that next offering to the Lord, the wheat offering. And then for the next 4 months, it would explode. Their gardens would explode. Their fields would explode. Their farms would explode. And it would just be growing and growing and growing and growing. And for 4 months, they would be working their fields. And then in the third great feast of the Lord during Tabernacles. All of their wheat, all of their wine, their olives, their grapes, they were crushed into oil and wine. And they would bring all of this harvest to the great feast of Tabernacles. They would offer their third offering of the year to the Lord, their tabernacle offering, and they would celebrate for 8 full days. And it would be an abundance because everybody would bring of their harvest. They would thank the Lord for the year that they had received, and they would party for 8 days. And then after that, they would go into the winter season, and everything would kind of die, and everything would shut down. But then the next season of Passover, it would come back to life again. It would be April showers, bring May flowers. It was time for resurrection. It was springing forth again into life. Ladies and gentlemen, we're 32 days away from the first feast of the Lord. Now, we don't have the actual agricultural harvest externally, but remember what Jesus said? Jesus said about our heart that it was good soil. Jesus said that our hearts were likened unto a garden, and that there was seed that was sown into the soil of our hearts. And some of it was sown by the wayside, and the birds of the air snatched the seed away, and it didn't produce anything. Other seed was sown into stony ground. The heart wasn't prepared. And so there was a plant. It grew up. It was glad. But because it had no depth, it had no earth, it had no root, it withered away. And then some were planted into the cares of this world. You know, and that stony ground represented what? The offenses, bitterness, resentment, you know, all of these things, the stony heart. And so then the third, it was sown among the tares and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. And so the word sown in there, the seed sown, didn't produce at all. But then he said, then the good seed was sown in the good soil of the heart, and it brought forth some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And the seed that God has sown into our heart, number one, is the Logos Word of God, the Bible. Every time we read the Bible, that seed being sown in the good soil of our heart. And what we read from the Bible enters into our heart and becomes a reality in our life, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But there's also a progression from the 30, 60 to 100 in the divine nature, the character of Christ, because Jesus Christ is the seed. And when the seed, which is Christ, is sown in the good soil of our heart, it reproduces after its kind. And that seed reproduces the nature of Christ in our hearts 30, 60, 100-fold. Oh, the mysteries are exploding. And I can't wait to really spend the time with you about it. But I want to encourage you to shake yourself from the winter season. The winter is past. The spring has come. The sound of the turtle dove is in the land. Where? In America? In Africa? No, it's not an external worldly thing. It's the sound of the kingdom of God. This is God's special work within God's special people. It happens in the midst of a world that's in chaos and confusion and war and tragedy and all these evil things that are going on. But the people of God are commanded to come out and to be separate into a special place to celebrate the great feast of the Lord. Now, let me tell you a mystery about the feast. The first feast of Passover is all about the shedding of the blood, the Lamb of God. That's what they did in Exodus when they came out of Egypt. The first Passover, they killed the lamb, they took his blood, they put it on the doorpost of a house, right? And so we know that Passover is all about the Lamb of God. Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. And so the Passover is all about the shedding of the blood, the Lamb of God. And we know that 50 days later on Shavuot, or the day of Pentecost, that was all about the Holy Spirit. 50 days later after Passover came the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we have the first two of the Trinity. We have the Son in the Lamb of God, the shedding of blood, to the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the gifts, the anointing, the power, the dunamis, the counselor, the Holy Spirit. That feast is all about the Holy Spirit. So if Passover is about the Son and Pentecost is about the Spirit, then obviously Tabernacles is about the Father. And both the Son and the Spirit have been sent into our lives to prepare us for an intimate encounter with our Father. Jesus Christ was in the world, and God was in Jesus Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus is the Savior to bring mankind back to the Father. The Holy Spirit is preparing our hearts to have a character so that when we meet our Father, we're going to be like him. Yes, there's something of the work of the Spirit and the Son that are preparing us for the Father, and it's revealed in the feasts. Isn't that awesome? And in Passover, it's a outer court ministry, because where did they shed the blood of the animals? In the outer court. That's where all the external priests were laboring. They took the offerings, they shed them on the blood. There was the laver, there was cleansing. It's a whole type and shadow. Passover is the outer court. Then you moved on into Pentecost. That's the Holy Spirit realm, and that's an inner court ministry. That's where the priests are laboring in the holy place, in the tabernacle, not outside in the court, but now they're inside the tabernacle. This is Holy Spirit realm. But then in tabernacles, you enter into the Holy of Holies. Now we go from the outer court of Passover to the inner court of Pentecost to the holy, holy of tabernacles. We go from the Son's work to the Spirit's work to the Father, and that's where everything is moving. The outer court of Passover is the realm of faith. The inner court is the realm of hope. The Holy of Holies is the realm of love. So we have faith, hope, and love. These three remain: the faith realm in Passover, the hope realm in Pentecost, the love realm with the Father. It is all a progressive reality. Even in Noah's Ark, there's a mystery. Remember what happened in Noah's Ark? God said, here's the pattern. I want you to build an ark. You're going to put a door in the side. You're going to have three levels, and then you're going to have a window. That's exactly the pattern. Then he gives a little bit more dimension. But we know that the ark represents salvation. And so the first thing is the door. Jesus said, I am the door. And if anybody tries to enter in any other way, then through me is a thief and a robber. So the very door of the ark represents our entrance into salvation through Jesus Christ. But then there are three levels or three stories. The first level is Passover. The second level is Pentecost. The third level is tabernacles. But what was at the top? Then there was a window. As you and I go from glory to glory, the glory of Passover to the glory of Pentecost to the glory of tabernacles, then there's an open heaven. There's a window into the unlimited realm of God's glory, where he's taking us forever. We're going to be with the Lord in the eternal reality of what he has prepared. Come on. Are you kidding me? We are a people going from glory to glory to glory to glory. And I'm telling you that the glory is what takes place in Passover. You know, it's in Passover that you and I recognize that our sins are forgiven, that our conscience is clear, that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed us perfectly clean, that there is no more stain, there is no more shame, there is no more guilt, there is no more condemnation, there is no more of anything other than liberty and freedom through the blood of Jesus. We have been justified by faith in his blood. What a glorious way to live life without the reproach of sin. What a glorious reality that the blood of Jesus has washed us thoroughly from our iniquity, and that we are clean, and we celebrate that during Passover. But then, as we move into Pentecost, now we have not only been cleansed, but we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we have one that will be with us forever. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will lead you. He will counsel you. He will empower you. He will give you gifts. He will help you in every area. He's the helper. Wow, what a good deal. We go from the cleansing of the blood and the conscience into the baptism of the Holy Spirit to live a life that we can never do on our own. And then we enter into this realm of God's glory, the intimacy, the Father and his children, the Creator and his creation. Wow, wow, wow. That's all I have to say. So anyways, we're moving into a season that is absolutely phenomenal. God is telling his people, never quit. We continue to do what God has called us to do. And then he says this: what is God doing through all these feasts? I'm going to tell you what I think he's doing. I believe that God is building a man of victory. The man of victory is rising in the earth. I have longed for a people who would be united in perfection since the onset of my church. I have looked for a people whose love would transcend all earthly and temporal satisfaction, who would willingly depart from the ways of a fallen creature and accept the new nature that I have placed within them and live out from it. I have sown my seed into the earthen vessels of humanity and have long waited for the harvest of righteousness to fill the earth. Understand my heart today. I am looking for quality, not quantity. I have all things. I need nothing in the concept of abundance. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof. Yet what I long for is a people who have been created in my image and likeness to come forth in all the glorious realities of the second man from heaven. My heart is to fellowship with those I have formed a relationship with, yet not the fellowship of a father and a child, but as a father with his son, male and female. I am mustering up the man of war, the man of victory in this day. This man will have success, victory, conquest, and triumph in all his doings. This is the man that I have determined to refresh in this season. He is the man from above. He is the man of complete and perfect deliverance. He is the overcomer. He is the militant, triumphant church in the earth, dominating all forces of evil, gaining the victory in every contest. In the spirit, this man is seen as my beloved bride, for I am the head of this man. I am the covering, the masculine, the Adam of his existence. In the earth, this man is the head over the old Adam race. In the earth, this man is the dominant force. In the earth, all creation submits and yields. In the earth, all men see this man as the blessed and prosperous one. Yes, all creation is watching to see this man of victory come to power. For this man is the manifestation of the sons of God, who have been prepared before the foundations of the world, that in due season would come forth and deliver the creation from the bondage of corruption. Who then is this man of victory? It is the body of my love coming forth as a perfect whole, in whom I am in the midst thereof. This man is being revealed out of heaven. He is coming out of obscurity and is being revealed in Mount Zion. This man is alive in the earth today. He has come to the appointed time wherein all things are being summed up. This man lives in the acceptable year, the year and day of vengeance. He lives in the season of the twinkling of an eye. He is here in the earth being joined and formed together. Mighty deliverance has been accomplished in him. This man has yielded to all of my purposes and has crucified all internal resistance against my spirit. This man carries a cross, not on a banner, but in his heart. All of his own emotions, thoughts, desires, and will have been put on the cross, and I have poured into him all of my thoughts, desires, emotions, and will. He lives and moves by every breath from my mouth. He is led, guided, and directed perfectly in all situations. All things prosper in his presence. He is the man of victory that is ordained to slay the dragon in the sea. He is the one to whom Leviathan shall bow. He is most glorious, beautiful, shining with the light of my glory. He is a reflector of all my love and strength. Now I speak to this man and I say, it is time to arise, for the daughters of Jerusalem have not stirred thee before the time, for the time is now. Arise, my man of victory, for I am sending the rains to your land. The preparation time is through. The time to arise in the earth has come to be my ministers, my praise. The time has come to offer the incense of your prayers and to be honored in the earth. My priests shall have no shame. They shall shine as the brightness of the noonday, and I will have overcome every plot and strategy of the evil one to blemish them and put spots upon them. Yet I say that this man of victory that is alive this day has no spot, no blemish can be found in him. His strength is superior to Samson in his greatest day, yet without the blemish. He has the faith of Abraham, my friend, yet without the blemish. He has the wisdom of Solomon, yet without the blemish. He has the anointing of David, yet without the blemish. He is the man sent from heaven, whose head is the Christ. He is the fullness of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak to him. He is in you. And the voice of the Father says to arise, come forth, man of victory. Tread upon the scorpions, tread upon the serpents, tread upon the head of all the power of the enemy. Come forth and do what I have ordained you to do in this day. It is the third day. It is the seventh day. It is the day of redemption. It is the day of reformation. It is the day of the Lord. Arise, mighty man of war. Rise and take the dominion. Take the kingdom. Sit up. Take your seat. Rule and reign. Your time being spent on the backside of the mountain is through. It is time for your appearing. Surely you will hear my voice saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Yes, I believe that God is bringing forth a man of victory in the earth. How about you? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Wow. I believe it. So how y'all doing today? I'm going to go over here and check out and see. If there's anybody out there that is wanting to call into the program today and talk about what's happening, praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to do our best to walk in the fullness of it. The line is open, 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. You know what I absolutely love about these prophetic words, these inspiring, encouraging, exhorting words? They are so biblically accurate as to what God wants to do in the life of his people. And yet God's people look at themselves according to the flesh and they can't see any of this. But when these things are spoken by God in his word, and then he puts it into a prophetic volume, if you will, and then breathes in it and speaks it into someone's life, it has the potential to become a reality. God is speaking into your life today, beloved. God is saying things to you that are more important than anything else, because you are God's plan in the earth. You are God's plan. Well, I've got my first call coming in today, and it seems to be my brother Bill out there. Good morning, brother Bill. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Pastor. How are you doing?
I think I'm okay.
Can you hear me? Well, I want to tell you, you're preaching fire right now, and I'm loving it. It's getting hot. I'm going to have to roll my windows down. It's good. That's good. I love the way you broke it down with the tabernacles and the outer court and the inner court and the whole bit there. It's just if that doesn't give somebody chill bumps and know that they have opportunities to draw nigh to Christ and to receive a blessing, then they need to have their head examined, or their heart examined, I should say. Awesome word. So,
well, bless your heart. It's a call to anybody that has an ear to hear. I love when God said, "I want quality, not quantity." I've got news for a lot of people. As we go to these higher places in God, as we walk towards and into the things that we're talking about right now, we're going to look one day to the left and right, and a lot of people that once walked with us aren't going to walk anymore because they don't want to go into this realm. They don't want to pay the price. They don't want to take up the cross. They don't want to go all the way into what God is calling forth. They're not going to believe they can do it. And you know what? I don't believe we can do it either, but I believe God said he could do it, and he gave us the power to get it done through the Holy Spirit. So this should be the journey of a lifetime for all of us to experience these things.
Well, your statement about wanting quality versus quantity would be likened to obedience is greater than sacrifice. And in other words, just bring to me who you are. Give me who you are, and let me take you and let me mold you and shape you. Versus, you know, leave all the junk behind. Leave all who you thought you were behind. Because I'm going to create something new in you that you've never seen before. And that's an awesome statement. That's an awesome statement.
And you know what's amazing? Awesome. Yeah, I love that. And you know what's amazing? You know what I see in my spiritual eye? What I could see, and a lot of people think when we talk about the supernatural that somehow we're going to be turned into something outside of where we are. No, God wants to do this right here, right now. What I could see is a man and a woman being married, for example, and all of a sudden God actually joins them together for the purpose of beginning a ministry. They become a pastor, or they begin to serve and counsel the body of Christ, and God grows them up and anoints them with these supernatural abilities to be able to minister to other people, to bring deliverance and salvation. I mean, that in and of itself is a supernatural work. And God has a lot, I'm telling you, God has a lot of work to do in the earth right now. And he's looking for vessels that he could anoint and empower with a testimony in this hour to go and do what needs to be done to loose that man and woman thou art loose, so that people can be released to walk in the liberty that Christ paid for them, even in the midst of the world that's going into deeper chaos than we've ever known before.
Amen. But in what you just said, he's looking for open vessels, not vessels that have preconceived ideas of how it's supposed to be or what it's supposed to be like, or they're afraid to move or get off the couch because, well, this hadn't happened yet, or that hadn't happened yet, or I can't do this or I can't do that until I see this. That what use is faith unless you're willing to step out? If you're willing to step out, be open and step out in faith, then what use is it? There's no use for it.
Well, amen. And here's what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. Dare to believe that God is
amen.
Doing great things in your life, and you will see and receive the blessing. Remember in John chapter 11, I think it is, where Martha came up to Jesus and said, Lord, what are you going to do? My brother's dead. He says, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. And so God is saying to someone today, dare to believe that God is doing great things in your life, and you'll see and receive the blessing. And remember, our world that we're living in right now is wearing down and waxing old. The ways of the world are in need of a redecoration. The present decor on planet Earth is not satisfying to the Lord of creation. So the demolition team is here, and the wrecking ball is ready to swing. So get out of the way. Get into your closet, get into your secret place, unless you get hurt by what is about to happen. Now, once the cleanup crew finishes their work, when all the damage is done, a new design will commence. This is the promise of a new heaven and a new earth.
Well, and Paul said, I run the race. He didn't say, I sit there and wait for everybody to catch up, or I wait for the other runners to catch me so I can determine with them what we need to do. He said, I run the race. And you're 1,000% correct. But people need to step out in faith. They need to be willing to run. They need to be willing to go with it by faith and see what the Lord has. There's so much trepidation or timidity in the body of Christ today. You can't have that. Hey, the enemy is not timid. I mean, we know who he is. All you got to do is turn on your TV, which I don't even own. But if you turn on your TV, you can see who the enemy is. And he's not timid. So why is the body of Christ timid?
Come on. Come on. That's right.
You know?
That's right. That's right.
So,
hallelujah.
Yeah. You're preaching a good word today, Pastor. I want to hang up and listen. Be blessed. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom to you, too. All right. The number is 818-369-0326, and you are welcome to call into the broadcast today and share your thoughts or comments about what are you hearing right now? What are you hearing right now? What is God saying to you right now? What is God saying to you right now? 818-369-0326. We've got about 14 minutes left in the broadcast, and I think this is a good way to start a Monday morning. I mean, I could read all the news events. I could turn on Fox News. I could, you know, repeat what's going on out there, but I gave you something right fresh out of the oven from the Word of God this morning, and I want you to be blessed by it, and I want to know how the Word of God is blessing your heart. How much of that got in you, what we were just talking about? You say, well, I don't know. It was going too fast. I don't know what got in me. Don't worry. Something got on you if it didn't get in you, and if it got on you, it'll eventually get in you. It'll seep right down into you if you open your heart up. I could actually slow it way down and go through it again, but I don't think we need to do that. But let's talk a little bit about the wrecking ball. The wrecking ball. The demolition team. Present order of things in our world. Now, you could read this in 2 Peter chapter 3. You could read this in Isaiah 13. You could read this in Isaiah chapter 24. You could read this in Thessalonians, the book of Revelation. You could read this everywhere. That the present decor of this world, the systems, the ways, they're dull. They're dull. Every system is dull, dead, and dying, waxing old. The Word of God says it again and again that it's waxing old. Now, God promises a new heaven and a new earth. What's he talking about? A new decor. In other words, the heavens are not going to be saturated with the licentious things of the principalities of darkness. The earth is not going to be filled with the crass, ugly, depraved things of the world. So God promises, for example, in 2 Peter chapter 3, to do what? We've all read it 100 times, but here's what he says. He says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in it shall be burned up. Seeing then that you see all these things shall be dissolved, What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? Listen, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire, okay, the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You see, the new heaven, the new earth that God is going to create is simply where righteousness will fill the earth and the glory of God will fill the earth. There will be, imagine, there will be no corruption in the world, in the universe, in the heavens. God is going to go so thoroughly cleanse the earth. He is going to turn it upside down. He is going to shake it out. He's going to cast what is wicked into the lake of fire. He is going to purge the earth. He is going to burn the works of the earth. You got to know that. And the idea is, when is God going to do this? Well, it appears that he's ready to do it right now. How is it going to happen? Nuclear, World War III, comets, asteroids. I mean, you name it, it's going to shake. It's got to happen. He's got to happen. He's telling us, I brought the wrecking crew, and that great wrecking ball is swinging back and forth, and I'm going to have it to begin to smash down the old order of things. Yes, the old order that is waxing old, that is dead, defiant, and rebellious against God has got to come to an end. And we, the people of God, must call it forth. We must hasten the day. Not hold back or try to pray it away. Read what it says, that we are to literally hasten the day of the Lord. And it literally means to hurry it up. Why? Because we want the kingdom to come. We want his will to be done. We desire a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We want to see the heavens sparkle again with the glory of God. We want to hear the stars singing once again. We want to see the angels in manifested glory moving throughout the universe. We want there not to be one hint, not one seedling, not one branch, not one leaf of corruption. We want to see the city of gold. We want to walk the streets of gold. We want to eat the tree of life. We want to live forever with the crystal clear rivers of living water flowing. We want no debris, no intelligence of wickedness anywhere. We want it to go away. God wants to bring a new heaven and a new earth, but he doesn't want anyone to perish. So he's given so much time for the preaching of the gospel that people can make a decision to come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Put God first. You'll find your place in this earth. There's a job for you to do. There's a life to live. Life is a gift. You're intended to live forever. And you're not going to ever die ever again. You're going to go from this existence to another, but you're never going to die. You're alive forevermore because the resurrection life is in you through your faith in Jesus Christ. But you got to know things are going to change. When? How long, O Lord, they cry. How long? When is it going to be? Soon. Soon and very soon. Come on, soon. I don't know what soon means to God. You know, I remember doing a study on the word now. And you know what now means? Well, it means from this moment forward. And when now is the commencement cadence. That now is begin to march. And from that moment, everything that God said will take place. So when he says now, he means from this time forward, these things are going to come to pass. We're living in the now time. We're living in the moment, the twinkling of an eye time. God's looking for quality. He wants to fill this new heaven and new earth with quality. He doesn't need quantity. He doesn't need quantity. He's got everything. Looking for you this morning. It's Monday morning. 818-369-0326. Is your life rather drab? Is it a little bit boring? Well, I've come here to inspire you. I've come here to color your imagination today with the Word of God. I come to get you ready for the great beginning of the feast of the Lord. A new year is ahead of us. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new in this new season. It's a new season in the economy of God. It is a ripe season. It's a first fruit season. It's a harvest. It's time. We're moving forward in another year with the Lord. And God has purpose and destiny. You're not just a wandering star. You're not a cloud without water, just drifting. Step into the specific, purposeful determined purpose of God for daily living. Hallelujah. I think I'm so excited. I'm going to have an amazing day today. Are you excited today? 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. I don't know what people are doing. I don't know what's going on in people's heads. You ever wonder why people are do what they do or they don't do what they don't do? You know, you get tired sometimes trying to figure people out. Problem. What's going on? What I'm more interested in, God, what are you doing right now? God, what are you doing right now? You know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping someone in the Middle East or in Israel or in South America or in Europe or in Africa is listening to my message right now. And I'm hoping that people are being colored in their imagination, that their faith is going to grow by the word of God that has been presented here today. I am hoping that faith is going to come into people's hearts and their minds and their imaginations. You know, without faith, you can't even begin to please God. And this word of God, this mystical, mysterious, magnificent word of God is meant to color the imagination. It's like the children of Israel that were in the house of bondage who came out during the first Passover. They were told about a land flowing with milk and honey. God gave them that inspiration for their faith to lay hold on a promise. And so when God talks about the things we've talked about today, it's intended to encourage and inspire faith for people to say, wow, there is more to what I'm living in my own personal little life right now. There's something great. And today I want to get out there and I want to live an abundant life. I'm going to walk in the caution of the Spirit. You know, I know that there are messages like these. I mean, this is a message from the Lord. Here's a wake-up call. This is what the Lord says. Not until my commandments are replaced in the halls of justice and my laws abided by, will there be peace in America. I will now undo the false prophets' words and cause them to fall to the ground. These are the prophets of Baal who prophesy lies in my name. These prophets are no better than the prophets who were under the control of Jezebel. Listen to what the Lord says. How can the prophets of America prophesy peace and safety to a nation that has removed my commandments from their halls of justice? And I want to be clear. Every prophetic word that I have spoken is not to America. It's to the saints of God within the church of God who are a kind of people within the church, a remnant within the church, certainly not to the United States of America. How can the prophets of America prophesy peace and safety to a nation whose leaders have legalized the abomination that brings desolation? How can the prophets of America prophesy success and blessings to that which I have cursed? How can the prophets of America speak kind words to a nation whose leaders have offended me? How can the prophets of America speak well of a nation whose leaders and inhabitants have swallowed up the flood that has been spewed out of the serpent's mouth? How can the prophets of America speak to a nation whose laws are a contradiction to mine? I will tell you, it is because they are prophets of America and not prophets of my kingdom. Any prophet who has not my kingdom in mind and the advancement of it, it is deluded and under the spell of the Jezebel leadership in America. Your leaders remove my crosses, tear down nativity scenes, turn judgment into wormwood, and call evil good and good evil. Babylon. My finger is pointed at you, America, and I will now undo the false words that have been spoken in my name. I will not let the adversaries that are rising up fail in their purpose. I will stand back and allow that which has been determined to strike, and like a rattlesnake, so shall it strike, and it shall wound with a deadly wound the empire whose day has come. I will allow the kingdom of Satan to fall to the ground as his house is divided. I will not allow the purposes of the satanic kingdom to prosper, but will bring darkness upon the seed of the beast until his pangs come upon him in a moment. To the leaders of America, I have spoken, and you have turned a deaf ear to me. So now will I turn a deaf ear to you. You shall go into darkness without a word being heard. You shall weep and lament as you watch all your plans and dreams fall to the ground. You shall go into outer darkness and there be consumed by the spirit of torment and death. To the inhabitants of America, you shall continue to pine away in your disgrace. You shall be the fatted calves, slaughtered for the sacrifice of an unholy nation. You who have eaten up the degradation of your lustful society shall reap the rewards of your gluttony. As David slew Goliath, so now shall a little nation slay the giant in the land. Your prognosticators and newscasters shall weep for the world to see. They will be devastated and not know what to say. The true army in America is my remnant. Those who have abandoned their ways and have given up their rights to be right, these shall take the dominion away from the beast. Now hear this. Every kingdom, every nation, every nationality, and every culture that has resisted my ways and my will shall come under swift destruction. I am no respecter of nations or people. I have only one people in the earth, and they are those who have received my son into their hearts. You know what I found interesting about that word? In all sincerity, God has really proven that the false prophets are the ones that were saying peace and safety, and yet our kids get shot, shootings in Las Vegas, churches are getting shot up in Texas, storms are hitting the land, and yet these false prophets prophesied peace and safety. Let's take our next call. Say good morning to Pastor Ken. Good morning, Pastor Ken. We have 1 minute to go. Patricia Joy Xavier is literally breathing hard to get on the microphone today with her message. Hallelujah. Pastor Ken, how are you today?
Good morning, sir. I can see her standing there just chomping at the bit, waiting to go. It's quite a woman of God you got there. Praise the Lord. But, Pastor, I mean, your message is right on time. It's appropriate. It's something that we all need to hear. But, you know, simply put, God made us and put us on this earth. He selected each and every one of us to be with him, to serve him, to love him, to honor him, to glorify him. And that's what he asks of us. He doesn't ask anything else, just to serve him and do what he's asked us to go ahead and do. And that's important, but it's even more important when you think of the times, literally like the handwriting is on the wall of what is about to happen, what is about to come. And, of course, the question is, we've asked this many times, are you ready? So what harm is there in preparing for what is coming? And even if it delays, that has not hurt you in any form or in any way, but actually elevated you because you're doing what God has asked you to do. It's as simple as that, and it's something that we all need to remember. It's something that we all need to go ahead and do. Honor our Father. Honor Jesus, listen to the Holy Spirit, and do what we need to do.
Spoken by a true pastor. That's a great heart to go out. We're going to go to a quick little break with those encouragements, and then we're going to return with Pastor Patricia Joy Xavier here on the Omega Radio Network. We're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not just the Watchman. It's not just Deliverance, the Roundtable discussion. But afterwards, we're going to continue on. Praise God. Go and do a quick little break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Here's just a little softening for the moment.
And sound the alarm on his holy hill. That's what you heard from Pastor Vincent. It is time, church, to rise up as we never have before. It is time to blow the trumpet. It is time to sound the alarm on his holy hill. And it is time to be delivered from every bondage, from every imprisonment, from every stronghold, from the strong man in your life. I pray and hope these studies are doing that. I pray and hope that Pastor Vincent's program is doing that. We are blowing the trumpet. We are sounding the alarm in Zion. And you know what? Zion means among the body of Christ. We are giving a loud and long trumpet call at the direction of Almighty God. Oh, how we hope that it will be heard. How we desire to reach the nations. Folks, people are hearing these words all over the world. Surely the alarm is being blown. Surely the trumpet is being blown. Joel 2:32 says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and in the church of God, there will be those who escape. Remember, Zion represents the body of Christ, the true believers. Jerusalem is a type and shadow from the Old Testament of the Christian body. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Today, as it represents the believing church, where there will be deliverance among the survivors. Are you a survivor? Am I a survivor? Many Christians' love has waxed cold and they have fallen back. Oh, that is not what God has called us to do. But it is happening even now as I speak. It has been happening lately in this year. It is growing in momentum. Unfortunately, not all will be survivors. Some have waxed cold and have fallen away from God's grace. And the scriptures tell us that in these latter days, there will be many who will fall out of grace and turn away from the faith. Some teach this isn't true. You can never fall out of God's grace. But I tell you today that that is a lie from the pit of hell. Yes, you can. You can be taken out of the book of life, blotted out of the book of life, if you don't continue until the end. Those who continue to the end, who endure to the end, to the end of what? Your life shall be saved. There is an anointing that'll help you through if you believe in Jesus Christ. And God help them who are turning away right now. However, we know that those who receive deliverance from sin will survive. He calls many, but not all come. Not all feel worthy of the call. Not all believe the call. Not all will accept that they are not worthy in themselves to receive this great calling, but it is through the worthiness of Christ that we must all come, not our own worthiness. There's a promise in Psalms 32. What happens for those whose guilt has been forgiven? What joys when sins are covered over? What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record? There was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. All day and all night, your hand was heavy on me, Lord. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Now I say that each believer should confess his sins to God when he is aware of them, while there is time to be forgiven. Judgment will not touch him if he does. The time is short. If you are my hiding place from every storm of life, you have been my hiding place from every storm of life. You even keep me from getting into trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. Don't be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit in its mouth to keep it in line. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but abiding love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. So rejoice in him, all those who are his, and shout for joy, all those who try to obey him. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet in Zion. That is what we are trying to accomplish, and may God help us to accomplish it. In these latter days, the trumpet has been blown. We are to go out to battle. Christ has won the battle for us. but it is up to us to fight the war that was started by the fall of Adam, the first man, and finished by the power of the second Adam, the risen Lord of lords and King of kings, Jesus Christ. Folks, Satan has been here all along, killing, destroying, and stealing from us. What is he stealing? Our joy, our peace, our health. He's destroying us physically, mentally, spiritually. He's killing our physical bodies with sickness and disease. But thank God we have the victory in the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed all that will come by the narrow gate. Those who come by this gate, he is in the process of restoring to the glory of the first man he created. Those who come by the narrow gate, the narrow way. Many come by the wide road and are totally, totally lost. It is my desire to see God's church walk in such victory that when Satan comes, he will find no sin within us. Please be unto the name of Jesus. Please be unto the name of Jesus. That is the victory that we have. And praise be unto his name, for Satan will not be able to operate with his filth and lies in the body of Christ any longer. It is finished, body of Christ. Instead, you, the overcomer, will be strong and powerful to tear down all strongholds of the devil and thereby establish the kingdom as we are commanded. And you will be his overcoming church. You will be his pure bride. He will come for those without spot or wrinkle. That is why I am here on radio trying to bring multitudes of us through deliverance so that we are ready to be that bride without spot or wrinkle. These are the overcomers. The Spirit speaks clearly to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3 that he who overcomes will receive promises and the inheritance of all things of God. Not some, not a few, but all things of God, including the promise that God will not blot out our name from the book of life. And only those who have ears to hear will understand. Are your ears anointed to hear? Are your eyes anointed to see the truth? Are you serving the living Christ? Now I have to ask you, as I ask myself, would you overlook this essential requirement for becoming an overcomer for salvation? And you may ask yourself, well, what am I supposed to overcome? And the answer is, folks, sin, Satan, and the world. Not just what you understand breaks the Ten Commandments, but a greater commandment to abstain from the sins, listen carefully, of anxiety, of fear, worry, concern, unforgiveness, hatred, and anger. If those sins abide in you, you will break the Old Testament Ten Commandments because you will have no other recourse. But if the sins of anxiety, fear, worry, concern, unforgiveness, hatred, and anger are gone from you, you walk in true faith because that which is not faith is sin. As mentioned in the previous chapters, these so-called emotions are the results of evil spirits operating in us, in Christians today, because of our sin of unbelief. That which is not faith is sin, and then there is the sin of unbelief. And I believe that every man and woman desires to be an overcomer deep in our hearts. Deep in your heart, deep in their hearts, they want to put Satan under their feet. I believe that with all my heart. So let us all become joyful. Let the joy of the godly well up in praise to the Lord, for it is right to praise him for what we're hearing. It is one of the works of the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and enable us to overcome, to make us brand new creatures in Christ, not the old people we were in nature, but brand new nature, brand new creatures in Christ. It is a process. It is a journey, as well as an adventure that you will never have the likes of until you desire to become part of that adventure, to take that journey. It is a working out of our salvation with cheer, fear and trembling. And yes, cheer. It is a working out of our salvation. That's what we're doing. And we do it with fear and trembling because it is so opposed. But we take the kingdom by force, not by willy-dilly thinking and concentration on anxiety and concerns and unforgiveness and hatred and anger and fear. We don't go there. We can't afford to. Do you understand that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? And we can't afford to go in that direction. Do not avoid your obligations. Come on. See it for what it is. This journey is excitement. This journey is freedom. This journey is life. Come this way. Anyone who has experienced the enabling power of the Holy Spirit has witnessed less and less sin in their life, close at home, at hand, and at home. Take the victory. Take the victory. Let's run with it. Let's go where no man's gone before. Let's walk that narrow path. It's exciting. It's incredible. If you will not fear, if you will not be in anxiety, you have the power to overcome it. You don't have to do it in your own strength. You have to do it by believing. Not in your own ability, but in the ability of the Holy Spirit by faith in believing that you have nothing to be anxious about. You have nothing to fear. For God did not give us, he did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. He didn't give us worry. He told us not to worry. There's nothing to worry about. He has everything in his hand in your life. Concerns are not necessary. If you have any, pray. Pray with all your heart what they are, and then believe and watch. Watch God turn everything around for you. And unforgiveness, no room for it. Begin to forgive everyone. And hatred is from a root of bitterness, from unforgiveness, whether it's toward parents, toward husband, toward wife, toward anyone who have done you wrong. And anger will cease. Now, I'm not saying there isn't righteous anger. There is. Anger toward unrighteousness is righteous anger. But you're not to go to sleep with anger toward any individual, because you do not fight flesh and blood. You are fighting the demonic presence behind them. Paul the Apostle taught us. So those are our obligations. And then watch and see what happens. The excitement begins to grow within you. The freedom that God has given us begins to rise up, and life abundant comes into our beings. Not death, not sickness, not disease, but life, abundant life, the purity and the holiness of power. Power that is manifested through love, the greatest power that exists. And anyone who has experienced the enabling power of love by the Holy Spirit has witnessed less and less sin in his life or her life. This is true. I've experienced it. I think you have too. if you would take a look, is not any longer turn from the truth that stands before you. Victory is close at hand for you and I. To be the overcomers he called us to be, and to be the army of God, the bride, the manifested sons of God on earth, and everyone walking this narrow road can readily see that they are practicing sin less now than they did a year ago. Think about it. Look into your heart and see if that isn't true. And even less than 2 years ago. You see, the power of life and truth is growing within you as you grow in faith, as you believe the word of God. I don't know how much more to express to you. Hold. Open your eyes to see the truth. Open your ears to hear the truth. Don't get bombarded by the silliness of this world and their ridiculous ideas, for they are found on darkness, lies from Satan himself. Begin to see the truth. Understand the truth. It is written in the Word of God, and it's filled with glorious promises and faith for your life. We have great cause for hope. It seems hopeless right now, but it's not. We have cause for hope, cause to know, cause for lasting encouragement. My husband, Pastor Vincent Xavier, was on radio earlier wanting to encourage you in your walk, in your faith, for the times that we are in, encouraging you in every way that the Spirit tells him to do so. We pray you've been encouraged. We know that it is necessary for these times we're in if we are to walk on water. Through Christ, we are in fact doing as he commanded by being on radio, speaking our hearts with the knowledge and wisdom he has granted us. And he's given it to you too if you would go forth and believe and become perfect. Yes, I'm going to say it again. Become perfect. You know why I said that? Through Christ, we are in fact doing as he commanded. We're becoming perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. But the church, most ministers will tell you, you cannot be perfect. It isn't the word of God. Maybe they don't understand what the word perfect means. It means becoming complete and becoming mature in the Spirit. That's what it means. Are you searching for this? Are you crying out for it? Are you grabbing hold of it? We are doing that with all our hearts. Come and join the army of God. Come and join the body of Christ. Come and join the ones who want to become overcomers and start to claim you are an overcomer. You know, the person must renounce in deliverance things that are evil if they're coming for deliverance. If you want deliverance right now, you have to renounce all things that are evil in which you have knowingly allowed yourself to be involved with. I've done it. Every Christian that is moving strongly has done it. Renunciation is an important part of deliverance. And don't cover it up by weakness. Be strong and be admitting what you have done wrong. Renunciation means to make a clean break from Satan's work within you. Because if you don't admit it, he's got a hold on you, folks. He really does. Admitting you've been wrong in the things that you have done that you feel guilty and ashamed about is imperative. Yes, it's imperative. Now, if you're going to go through deliverance, it is a must that you bring to the person who's going through deliverance that you bring this understanding to that individual, that that individual must renounce all sin. This is imperative. Everything, every ugly thing that could be remembered, because if you don't, that keeps a hold on you from the enemy. But Satan must release if all sin is renounced. It doesn't matter if you killed someone. Some have fears because they committed the sin of abortion, killed their baby in the womb, given an excuse that it wasn't really a baby, when science has now proved that it is, but we've known it all along. It is important. And the reason it is important is that we must command the devils in that person or in ourselves to unlink themselves by the authority in the name of Jesus. And if that person has not, or we have not renounced all sin that we are aware of, that we know of, and we should ask the Lord to reveal to us if we haven't thought about it and covered it, so that we can breathe more easily in our life that is half darkened, it's time to say, I've done all this. Man, I can't believe that. I did all that, but I did. Your forgiveness for it. Whether I did things that had hurt others and didn't care, wanted selfishly for myself, whether I have lied multitudes of times and stolen from others, and maybe I'm still lying. Maybe I'm still telling even little white lies as a Christian. Uh-uh. God will help you out of that. It only shows cowardness. If you would stop even little white lies, your strength, your boldness would rise up within you. And you will become such a victorious individual. If you're thinking evil of anyone, can't stand them, hate them, you have bitterness in your heart toward people who have tried to control you, forgive them. They know not what they do. You're greater than that. You are able to overcome all things because the Bible tells us we can. By the move of the Holy Spirit within us. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in and help. He is in you, hopefully. You've already asked him to come in, hopefully. If not, do so. He is your power. He will direct your way. He will turn the lights on to your feet. He will show you how to be victorious. He will give you understanding of God's heart. For you, he will show you your purpose in life. He will give you understanding of your destiny. He will guide you in the way you should go. There won't be a question. You will know because the Holy Spirit is in you to show you and tell you. It'll be a quickening of your spirit on a continuous basis. You will be able to discern what is evil and what is good quickly. And you will see it in individuals who are imprisoned by Satan and who are truly free. You'll know. And then you will not be. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he does it through lies and deception. Who's right in this world right now? Who is being deceived in government and who isn't? I have to tell you, it doesn't matter. What matters is where you are. That is the most important thing in this world for you. Where are you? Have you deceived others? Have you been deceived? Do you know the difference? Are you walking in the glory of God Almighty? Have you been delivered from evil spirits? This is what it's all about. This is why I have come into this ministry, to hopefully set the captives free as we have been asked to do, authority of Jesus Christ. He himself has asked us in the word to do this. If you have questions, regarding what you have heard, email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. If you need help, email me. Let me know. If you wish to order my book, go to Amazon. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights by Patricia Joy Xavier. You will see that book available, and then you will be able to help others from their bondage. God bless you. I want you to know that you're loved. You're loved so incredibly. I want you to know it. In Jesus' name.